السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, after the bayans on Hajj and Qurbani, I was intending to return to the subject which we were discussing over a few Fridays, and that was the letter of Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh to his student, wherein afterwards he was discussing the story of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh. But instead of returning to that, suddenly another mazmoon came into my mind just a little while ago. And I think it's quite important and very relevant, especially in our times. Therefore, I will discuss that very briefly in today's Jummah. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hai Saab Arefi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a great Wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He was the Khalifa of Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh. And great, great ulama became bayat upon his hands because of his spiritual condition. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had blessed him with both knowledge of deen and the knowledge of dunya. He was a qualified specialist hakim, and also he was a hakim in the spiritual sense. So looking at the condition of the Muslims, he gave a small prescription. And he said that this is the prescription which my Shaykh Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh gave to me. Outwardly it seems four simple things in there. But some of the prescriptions that the doctors give, a good physician gives, a good hakim gives, the ingredients could be just a few and simple to obtain. But the effects are tremendous. The person gets cure from his illness. He does not even have to spend very much money, unlike in our times where medical treatment has become a very expensive commodity. But there was a time when just those prescriptions of the hakims, in which just a few things were mentioned, simple to obtain, in a few cents the person could get it from the bazaars, but there was cure for serious ailments and diseases. So we must not look at the prescription that what simple remedy it contains. We must look at how effective it is. And this prescription is in the light of the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that we are no more in those days when we will make a lot of jihad and mujahada against our nafs and against shaitan. We are not of those people that will make a lot of effort to make increased ibadat. People stayed awake whole nights in prayer. They recited the whole Quran Sharif in just two rakat of salat. We even get those type of people in the history of Islam. And others who engaged themselves in so much of deen work and khidmat of deen that they had no real time for accumulating the wealth of this world, and they were not interested. But we are not going to be of that category. We know our weakness, we know our shortcomings. So he says that if we can adopt just four simple things in our life, it will make a big difference to our lives, and it will make it easy for us then to make amal on all the other teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And the first thing that he mentions there, he says, is that if we can only get into the habit of making shukr over every ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us, every ni'mat that we recognize as a ni'mat, because there are so many things that we don't even recognize as a ni'mat. At present, whilst we are sitting, our heart is working, our liver is working, our kidneys are working, our bladder is working, our mind is working, our intelligence, everything is serving us, and we are making no payment for all these ni'mats, and we do not even consider all these things as ni'mats, whatever is happening inside us. Because we don't see it, we take it for granted that everything is normal. Whereas there is a whole system that is operating. If only a person understands how costly it is when the person's kidney fails and he has to go repeatedly onto that machine, then we know how costly it is to keep it moving. But here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got all these ni'mats working for our favor, in our favor. So whatever ni'mats we recognize, we make a plenty of shukr. And he says, for example, a person gets up in the morning. Now when he gets up in the morning, he looks at his house, mashallah, nothing has been burgled, there was no burglary, nobody smashed in, he does not discover any loss of items or goods. Straight away he makes shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, your shukr that you kept me protected the whole night. Then immediately he realizes that if I had got up blind, what would have happened? So he makes shukr, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, my sight is still good. He is able to read, he is able to speak, he makes shukr. He doesn't have to make a big long dua. In his mind he is making shukr, Alhamdulillah, Allah, my sight is still there, my hearing, my speech, my body, everything is salamat. So the person makes plenty of shukr over it. Then when he looks at his children, he says, Alhamdulillah, they too are also in good health. Nothing has harmed them. No creature bit them. Nobody raped them. And nobody hurt them. And nobody injured them. So now again he makes shukr. Ya Allah, my children, my family are also in good condition. So he's making plenty of shukr. Like this he carries on. Then he wants to go to work. Now he has got this fear whether I will get the bus on time or not. Whether when my car will reach there or not in time. I've got appointments, I've got meetings, I've got to open the shop. Now this person finds everything works according to his will and desire, and everything works on time, that he does not get a puncture on the way. He does not get held up in a traffic jam. He does not get hijacked on the way. Now all these things have happened in his life, so he makes shukr over it. These things we don't even recognize. We don't even recognize as ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that the person was able to make it to his profession, to his business, or to his place of work without being hijacked, without being killed, without being hurt, without being injured, or without being late and delayed. Now all these things he makes plenty of shukr over. So when he is going to get into this habit of making shukr over everything that he is seeing, every little thing he is making shukr. Then again after that, when he conducted his business the whole day, when he was cashing up, at that time nobody put a gun to his head. He was able to take his money, put it safely into the safe or take it to the bank or whatever it was. And he returned home safely again. Again he finds his house in good condition. He finds his family in good condition. He finds all the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him still in his possession. Again he makes plenty of shukr. So if he's going to make plenty of shukr in his life, this will develop that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his heart. The reason that he gave this prescription is that when this person will make plenty of shukr, then it will develop that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his heart. And this love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when it is going to come into the heart, then it will make it easy for him to make his namaz, to keep fast, to give zakat, and to stay away from all those things that are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, because now he has got love for Allah. Until he does not develop that steam of love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's going to be difficult for him. If you tell him to read one tasbih, it is difficult. If you tell that person, get up Fajr Salat, he says, it's very difficult. I sleep late, I can't get up for Fajr. But yet if you tell that person that your beloved is waiting for you outside and you have to meet her at 2 o'clock in the morning, then that person will get up irrespective of what kind of deep sleep he may be in. Because he's got love for that woman of the world who is going to perish one day and turn to dust. But here he hasn't got that love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so for everything he's finding difficult, and he is procrastinating, he is delaying, he is not willing to change, because he hasn't got that steam of love of Allah Ta'ala. So this shukr, when it is going to increase, it will develop that love of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore all other ni'mats, all other ibadat will terminate the moment the person enters into Jannat, or the person passes away, all other ibadat have been terminated. But one thing that will continue in Jannat is what we term as the shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, to say Alhamdulillah is actually making the tarif of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, glorifying Allah Ta'ala for the ni'mat that He has given a person. So when he is going to say Alhamdulillah, so then it is making shukr over the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. And in Jannat, the ni'mat are going to be unlimited. So therefore, this is one ibadah that will continue, that the person will keep making Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, this ni'mat of yours, this ni'mat of yours. All these flowing streams that you have given to us, the hoors of Jannat, the gardens of Jannat, that there's no pain in Jannat, there's no hasad and malice and greed and riya and show, nothing in Jannat, nothing but what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed, ma la aynun ra'at, wa la uzunun sami'at, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought didn't cross anybody's mind. So the person will continue making shukr of Allah Ta'ala even in Jannat. Therefore, if you have to look at the Surah Fatiha, Surah Fatiha is one surah which in reality contains everything that is in the Quran Sharif. The entire Quran Sharif, whatever it contains, if you have to make the tafsir of Surah Fatiha, you will find everything in Surah Fatiha. And Surah Fatiha, if you have to take Alhamdu, then everything is in that Alhamdu. We can expand after that as much as we want. I'm not going into tafsir, but the whole of the Quran Sharif is in Surah Fatiha, and the whole of Surah Fatiha is in Alhamdu. And this Surah Fatiha, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has asked us to read in every rakat of every namaz. It shows that it has got what important. So this is that hamd that is there, that the person is continually making shukr of Allah Ta'ala. This is one characteristic which was so clear and distinguishing in the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, and even in the life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have become negligent of. And as a result, we are not getting that steam of love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in our hearts. But the benefit that is in there is again for us, even if we don't get that kind of steam of love of Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, La in shakartum la azidannakum, that if you are going to make shukr, then I will definitely give you an increase. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely give an increase if the person makes shukr. But this shukr must not be just with the tongue, the shukr must be with the eyes, the shukr must be with the hands, the shukr must be with the feet. Every ni'mat, the shukr must be in accordance with that ni'mat. The eyes, the shukr of that is that the person does not see haram. The shukr of the ears is that he doesn't listen to haram. The shukr of the tongue is that he does not speak haram. He does not swear anybody. He does not curse without justification. The person does not take false oaths and qasams. The person does not speak lies with his tongue. All those sins of the tongue, he restrains himself from them. That is the shukr. But when he's going to keep making verbal shukr, inshallah, it will lead him to that shukr also, where he's going to restrain himself from everything that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with. So shukr, to increase the shukr, because Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ, which means this, that what benefit does Allah Ta'ala get in giving you a kind of azab or punishment? What benefit will Allah Ta'ala get? How will it benefit Allah in any way if He has to shake up the earth and thousands of people lose their homes, thousands of people lose their lives, thousands of people suffer injury and pain? Does Allah Ta'ala enjoy some kind of fun? Is that some kind of entertainment or pleasure for Allah, na'uzu billah, to see all those kind of disasters? Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made dua that Allah Ta'ala must destroy everything because they do not want to accept Islam, after making effort for 900 years, but when he saw that they are not prepared to listen to him, and in fact the more he is calling them towards deen, the more they are plugging their ears. So then he made dua, رَبِّ لَا تَزَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua and the floods came and everything was destroyed. We know whatever happened. But after some time, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told him, Oh Nuh, now you start making pots, clay pots, and go on making until I tell you to stop. So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam started making the clay pots and he went on making and making. When he made a large number of clay pots, in which great amount of energy was spent and time was spent, then Allah Ta'ala told him by wahi that now destroy all these pots, smash them up. So the thought came into Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's mind that I spent so much of time and now Allah Ta'ala is telling me must destroy it. But it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, so he destroyed it. But he asked Allah Ta'ala that what was the need to have this destroyed because you first asked me to make them. But your hukam, so therefore I carried it out. I've got no objection with that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said that this is in reply to what dua you made. That creation of mine, how much of time it took for such a large number of people to be born in this world and to be raised up and to become fit, young and healthy and to build up their homes and to build up the villages. So much of time and so much of effort was put into there. But you made dua that now destroy them, so I destroyed them. So he gave a reply to that, that he does not get any kind of enjoyment or satisfaction in destroying his creation. Allah Ta'ala loves man, and he does not want to see him destroyed. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What will Allah Ta'ala gain by giving you any kind of azab? If you make shukr and you bring iman. If you have these two things, you make shukr and you have iman, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to give you any kind of azab. And that is the shukr. One doctor in Johannesburg, after listening to one of my talks, he says, Maulana, how can we get that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in our hearts? It is difficult. We can't seem to create and develop it. I said, simple. And I gave him the same prescription. I said, what you do is make shukr of every ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given you in abundance. Make it a habit of your life. Morning, evening, afternoon, whatever ni'mah you see, you have to make shukr. You were able to diagnose the patient correctly, make shukr over it. You were able to pass your examinations and qualify as a surgeon or as a doctor, whatever it is, you make shukr over it. Whatever ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, you say, Ya Allah, if it had not been your gift of this intelligence to me, I would not even have been able to pass my class 1 examinations. Where would I have been able to qualify? So now every ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala you make shukr. After you qualified and you started your practice, then you were able to purchase a Mercedes Benz, you've got a beautiful home, you've got wife, you've got children, you've got good health, you've got good sight, you've got good hearing, everything you've got. Now you make plenty of shukr over that. When you are going to make plenty of shukr, what is going to happen is that nadamat and shame will develop in your heart. When the person will see that on my side, I am disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala so much. I am misusing this sight. I am misusing my ears. I am abusing this tongue. And every gift of Allah ta'ala which he has blessed me with, I am using for his disobedience and for his displeasure. And yet he is giving me sight and hearing and speech and Mercedes and home and wife and children and intelligence and the ability to diagnose correctly and to prescribe correctly, whatever it is. Now this will create that shame and embarrassment in the person's heart if he is, of course, a sane person. If he hasn't got sanity, then of course he must be sent to the nearest asylum. But if he is a sane person, then it will create shame in that person's heart. And this shame itself is tawbah. This shame in the heart is itself tawbah. And this person with that now will go to the people whom he has harmed or whom he has taken from something that was not due to him. If it was inheritance matter, the person had usurped that which was not rightly due to him. So now this embarrassment and shame in his heart will make him go and ask for forgiveness or to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. And the person will ask for forgiveness if he has hurt the feelings of someone, whatever it is. And if it is his namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, it will lead him now to start making qazas of the namazes, of qaza of the fast. And if he didn't pay his zakat, he will start giving the zakat. So this shame and this nadamat, how did it come? It came because he increased his shukr. Because of his abundant increase of shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats, that love of Allah ta'ala came into his heart. And that love brought now shame, embarrassment, and that feeling of tawbah. So now it will lead to tawbah. And when the person now makes tawbah, I explained to him that now when you are going to make tawbah, because you are feeling ashamed that my Allah is so kind to me, he is blessing me with so much of my ni'mats, I don't deserve it. I am not deserving of it. And yet he is blessing me with so much. So now this person will make tawbah, and this tawbah when he is going to make with sincerity, fulfilling all the requirements of tawbah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Now not that you will love Allah, Allah will love you. Before you were talking about loving Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but now with this tawbah, with complete sincerity, what is going to happen is Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Now that love from Allah will come for you. So the development of that love is simple for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now these are things which we do not even ponder over. But we require it so much in these days. We require it so much because we can see what is happening all around. Homes, businesses, family life. What is really safe today? So if we have to increase the shukr, and the shukr also if we fulfill all the requirements of shukr, then it is going to create, or it is going to bring for us more and more ni'mats from Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. But if you are going to be ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala for His ni'mats, then His azab is also shadid, very severe, and nobody will be able to really ward it off. We must not challenge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's might. The person who steps out of his car in Kruger National Park, and he tells the people, the passengers or the occupants of the car who are with him, that I am a very daring person and I am going to challenge the might of the lions today. Then we will say that this person, something is wrong with his head, and if the others have to follow suit, then they too will become the samosa of those lions. So if we cannot challenge the might of the lion, where are we going to challenge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's might? Allah Ta'ala says, if you are going to be ungrateful, then His azab is very, very severe. Now we must see how grateful we are to Allah Ta'ala. The ni'mats are becoming unlimited, in spite of our sins and disobedience. But Allah Ta'ala's doors are open for us. Inshallah, what can we do? The time has expired. The other two points, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, and until next week, then we will continue.